All right. Hey guys, I am Jerry Dreau. I'm the PM for Payments and Outlook, and this is Amar Deka.
Hey guys.
And he's the lead for the engineering. And today we'll be talking to you about how to build a payment experience, go over who should be building this, and also talking a little bit broader about content extensibility overall in Outlook.
Just late.
All right, let's get started. So first, to give some background, we're gonna make a ridiculous proposition. We're gonna tell you that email is cool. Seriously. So really, let's talk about why email is cool. So email is one of the largest open communication platforms in the world. If you think about what that really means, it's something we take for granted today, but when you look at the evolution of communication platforms today, they don't really follow the same type of paradigm. The first thing is, as long as anyone has your email address, they can reach you, just like a phone number or a text message. It uses this like push behavior paradigm rather than pull, right? So you don't really get a say of whether you want this or not. The guy just sends it to you. So it's incredibly powerful. When you look at chat programs today, like Teams, Skype, Facebook Messenger, things like that, you have to really go discover this source of information, add it, request it, so things like bots or other humans, they can then talk to you after the fact. That's great because everything is in your inbox. That means like your meetings, to-dos, project management, bills, travel, and if you work in a large company, email becomes your source of truth. We live in it. That's the place where I go to find all my documents, all my meeting notes, and you know where to go next. As a developer, actually, if you want to tap into this rich source of information, you can even access that through the Microsoft Graph, which is awesome. There's just this like really small problem with email. Everything is in your inbox. So, you know, meetings to do project management and expenses and travel. And really, because it's this place where you live in, it's really hard to find everything, and every piece of information becomes diluted as well. Nothing is as relevant, and it's really hard to tell what's important and what's not. So when you look at what we're doing to try to make email more relevant, here's what Outlook is doing by itself, right? So we think about email in three categories, and you can see this in the user experience in Outlook. The first one is just things that you don't want. Emails you don't want to see, they go into junk and spam. The second category is things that you may want to see, but it's not as important, and that goes into the other inbox. And then the last one is mail that you do want to see, and those land in focus today. So within Outlook, without any help from developers or senders, we take all the information about your behaviors and all the information about whether this email is relevant, and we try to categorize things so that the most relevant emails are the ones that you see. When you break down the actual email itself, it really falls into kind of two parts of every email, right? The first one is the intent. What do you want the user to do when you send an email? The second one is the resulting action. And with the action, it's how do you make this easy for the user to take action on that intent? So, you know, from my personal experience as a PM, who I constantly am asking developers like Amar to do stuff for me, I have some like really easy advice for how to make this useful. You have to make it very clear to the user what you want the user to do, and also make it really easy for the user for what the action is that you want them to take. So that's kind of the summary of how to make a very useful email notification. And that kind of bridges into this platform that we're building. So when you talk about payments, the first thing we want to talk about is how can you structure intent, right? So payments today is announced as part of this larger adaptive framework for email. And if you guys saw the keynote, then you see that we've partnered with GitHub to create very powerful, clear intents inside email that you can immediately take action on. This makes it very easy for the user to know what they need to do, and without even having to leave the inbox, they can go ahead and just take that action right there in Outlook. So from kind of this framework, we branched out and you know, we try to figure out exactly what we can do to provide the most powerful action out there for all of these types of intents. And we figured that the common denominator for everyone in this room is that people want to get paid. So we want to be able to reduce the friction of you guys getting paid and our users paying you. So today, hopefully in this session, some of the things we want to talk about, how payments work, what kind of scenarios that you guys are doing that would be a good fit, how can we build it? Amar will be walking through that. and how we can combine that combination of this flexibility of intent with adaptive cards with the action of payments to really build a very powerful experience. And the last thing is how you can build this in a development lifecycle where you can start testing in your own inbox, and we'll walk you through how to publish this to access the hundreds of millions of users in Outlook. So Amar will be showing you a couple demos.
Thanks, Ari. So payments in Outlook is a pretty new feature. So we have worked with a bunch of partners to enable this feature in Outlook. One of the key scenarios and the key partner for us is Jira.com for invoicing scenario. So invoices are already in your inbox. We work with Jira to get the intent of this invoice to be clear with adaptive card markup. So whenever you see a new invoice from Jira, it will have an adaptive card, which we call payment card, with the right intent to be get paid within your inbox. So here is an example. So this invoice came from Jira's invoicing system, where when it received on the by the user in Outlook, they would see this particular payment card. It has the information about the invoice, when it is due and the amount, and a clear action to review and pay. So when users click review and pay, they would be seeing the payment in Outlook experience where they would see the current status of the invoice, and they would be able to continue paying this invoice right there from Outlook.
Hey. Okay. Can I zoom in a little bit? It's Control plus, I think.
Yep.
There you go. Awesome.
Okay. So the invoice is being paid, and we should be, the action is complete.
Yep.
So Jerry will go through some other scenarios where we have partnered with other providers for this scenario.
So sending card that has this intent isn't really just limited to cloud platforms, right? So here you can see Sage 200. It's a desktop platform for high volume invoice sending for enterprise companies. It's very easy to generate a bulk number of invoices, and the user can also personally craft messages and send it out using their own email address. So here's a great example of how you can see those types of invoices also end up in your inbox. And we're trying to drive this uniform experience to create easier recognition by users for invoices all across the board for in Outlook. So kind of just to break down this experience and what you're actually seeing, let's take a quick review of digital payments all up. So really, traditionally in digital payment, we talk about three entities. There's the user, the person paying. There's the merchant, the person trying to sell a good or collecting payment. And then there's the processor who does all the magic in the back end. What they do is they facilitate the payment between two banks, and they also go through the card network like Visa or MasterCard to be able to transition this payment. Now, when you looked at Xero and Sage and those examples, what actually happens is that we actually communicate with the platform itself, so Xero and Sage. And there's many, many merchants that are connected to this platform. And Xero and Sage also have a connection to the processor. And when they are able to facilitate this payment, then the processor is able to route the money to the appropriate account for the merchant. So that's kind of a high-level overview of digital payments. In the demo that Amar just showed, let's see how this works. So when the user clicks on pay, that integration you saw with the credit card pane in Outlook is an integration provided by Microsoft Pay, our internal partners. And then they fund that credit card number that's tokenized and secure to Outlook, and we're able to forward that to the platform. Because we actually have an integration with Stripe and in the future other processors, this token is something that only Stripe can read. That helps us avoid the PCI compliance burden of touching credit cards, and it helps the platform also not have to, because that's a very expensive validation process. So once the platform takes this token, they can charge it against Stripe, and Stripe will handle the rest and be able to funnel that to the correct merchant. So that, in essence, is how payments work in Outlook. So Amar, do you want to talk about the developer experience?
Yeah, sure. So onboarding to payment in Outlook is very straightforward process. Essentially, there are three processes that a developer, new developer, will go through. First is the registration. So there is a self-serve portal within Office where the developer can onboard to payments in Outlook. Second step is to develop against the webhooks that will receive the payment notification from Outlook when the user interacts with the card and the payment experience. There is the payment card, which will be embedded through the email that you are sending out to your users. And the last step is to publish and productize, where our onboarding team will help you go through testing, production, and other steps. Onboard pay? Yeah, OPay.
Oh, is it onboard OPay?
Yeah, yep. Onboard OPay.
It's not a typo missing. Nope, Tony, it's not a typo.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, awesome. So Amaro is going to quickly show the onboarding process right now while I try to explain it. So the first thing you have to do is you have to have an Office 365 developer account. If you don't have one, here's the link, and we'll be able to share it after this presentation so you can sign up for that really quickly.
Yep.
So once you have that and you sign up, here's the payment platform that you can see and the management portal.
Yep. So before going to the payment portal, so the documentations are already in dev.outlook.com. If you haven't visited those, you should be able to just go to that portal, streamline payment, and there is a good bit of documentation on how to get started.
Okay. Yep.
One of the link will take you to the payment portal, onboarding portal for partners, which will require, as a prerequisite, an Office 365 developer account. So if you're already an Office 365 user, you should be able to use your existing IDs to log in, or you can also go to dev.outlook.com to create your Office 365 developer account.
Yep.
The other prerequisite is to have a Stripe Connect platform account.
Yep.
Stripe is the first processor that we have worked with for this integration. To experience this integration, you will need to have a Stripe Connect platform account.
Yep.
If you're familiar with Stripe, if you're not familiar with Stripe Connect, it's a solution that Stripe provides for marketplace and platform to collect payments and then distribute it to your merchants.
So it's really easy to sign up. You can go to stripe.com and you can just sign up for that account.
Yeah. So once you are in this portal, the first step is to create a merchant profile with Microsoft. The first step is very simple UX. So you should be able to click, and I have already logged in with my test account. And this will launch the payment experience. The Add Stripe account will get you to the Stripe portal, where you would be able to associate your Stripe Connect account with Microsoft so that Microsoft can tokenize the user credit card so that you, as a platform, will be able to charge it. I have already connected the account, so I would just not do it. So there is, if you just see, it is already connected with Stripe. With this account active. So this would be the account that I'll be using for the rest of the demo. Once you have that, the next thing is to basically register for your webhooks. The webhooks are the endpoint where you will receive the payment notifications when the user interacts with the card as well as the payment experience. So for now, for this, I'll just, for the registration to complete, I'll just put something localhost for now, which is a mock. Update and complete. So it doesn't do anything, but it will be just let me register. So once registration is complete, I should see a mock card, payment card generated, and it will have the necessary informations to trigger the payment experience in Outlook. Okay.
So there's three steps to kind of building this experience, right? The first one is to create that intent that was the markup that Amar just showed, and to register the necessary webhooks to power that payment experience with the credit card pane and being able to submit that full credit card credentials to be actually charged. Those are kind of what the webhooks do and how you register those. So kind of to just go through really quickly, let's take a look at breaking down how to create that intent with the payment card itself. So here is FreshBooks. FreshBooks is one of our partners that's about to ship their integration in the next couple months. And here's the type of card that FreshBooks sends. So you can see, just like Xero or Sage or someone in the cloud accounting platform, when you send an invoice, you can embed this type of card. And after you're able to send that into Outlook, you can see that the card just appears like this, right in the user's inbox. Yeah. Mar, do you want to walk through the types of components here?
Yeah, sure. So the card has two main components. Okay, one is the how to declare the intent, which is the UX that you define. So the body here, that says invoice from Contoso for $57.28 is where you basically define the intent of the card with different markups. Okay, and here you can specify the invoice number, due date, balance due. And the other section is a data contract, which will trigger the payment experience. Data contract has the Marcin ID. So when you register with the portal, a Marcin ID is generated for you. Okay, there is also a concept called display ID for different template of the card, which is also generated for you for the payment experience. Then the key piece here is the product context. The product context is a JSON blob that the merchant or our developers can specify on the card, which should be played back and forth with all the events that we would be sending to the merchant to receive updates and doing payment complete. So if you want to provide any more information based on that, or if you want to develop any business logic for those events that you receive from Outlook, we'd be able to do it.
Yeah. So to sum it up, the merchant ID is associated with your webhooks. When you click review and pay, those are the two webhooks that our merchant ID routes these calls to, right? And the product context is what's overloaded into that action so that we'll play those back in those webhooks for you. So to kind of go through that overall architecture, Mar will walk through you.
Yeah, sure. This is the flow diagram on how the experience will flow through your endpoints. So the key here is that we will receive the user in Outlook. We'll receive an email with the embedded payment card that we have talked before. Once users start clicking on the button, okay, it launches the flow. The first thing the flow does is to make a call to your payment request with the product context that you specify on the card. Okay, so that product context might have your invoice ID or it's some information that you would be able to see what is the current status of the payment request.
Yep.
Okay. If it is paid, then you just send a response saying that okay, it has already been paid, and we render it on the Outlook. But if it is not paid, you provide the updated information so that these are rendered to the user. And the user will go through and review it and click through the payment experience to finally for pay. Once pay is clicked, the Outlook payment experience will call our service to tokenize the card that the user has already selected. So that tokenization happens at the with Stripe N, and Stripe will create a token, and the token will be sent back to your payment complete. Okay, yep. Once you receive it, you should be able to charge the token for your right merchant, and you as a developer will send back a payment confirmation to us.
Yeah. So as a summary, right, to build this experience, you really need three components. The first component is the email. You need to provide structured data in your normal SMTP sending service to be able to tell us what your merchant ID is and what you're trying to sell or buy or collect payment on. The second part of that is the payment request. Because emails can be stale for many days or many weeks sitting in your inbox, we need the most updated state for this invoice or bill. So we call this endpoint, and we're able to retrieve that most updated state. The last one is the payment complete. With payment complete, you're actually building this webhook. You're expected to do two things. The first one is you're supposed to route this to the correct processor. So you're using Stripe, then call the Stripe Charge API here. The second thing you have to do is be able to provision the correct resources. So you have to set the invoice in this case to be paid and then confirm to the user that it has been. In most cases, you can also send a receipt or something through the same email sending, because we provide you the email address of the user to say, hey, this has been complete. So to kind of go through this, Amar will show you a live code walkthrough.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll switch the screen.
Yeah. 7.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay. So the code I'm using is already in the Payments in Outlook documentation. So if you go to get started, there are two samples on ASP.NET and one in Node.js. I will just start with the ASP.NET, the program here. So this particular project or the service implements the payment request and payment complete webhook. So there, if you're familiar with ASP.NET, there are controllers that will receive, that will be acting as an endpoint where you would be receiving those requests. Payment request in this case is the invoices controller. So the invoices controller will receive the payment request call when the user clicks the pay in the card. And then payment payments controller is the one that will receive the payment complete request. Is it?
It's a little small, I think.
Okay, let's see.
Does it work?
No. Where do I?
If you count.
Just I think it's
control plus.
Control plus. Yeah. No. Yeah, for example, it's not working. So let me actually use the sample card from the connector playground. So I will just use this to send a mail to myself so that I can actually trigger the experience. So for now, okay, we have just configured a localhost, so it will not.
So some background here is if you go to messagecardplayground.azurewebsites.net, you can actually craft your own payload and send it to yourself really easily. To kind of test this out. Currently, with the permission set that you're given immediately, anyone can send a message card to themselves. So once you're ready to publish, we'll go over how that process is. But when you want to test and develop, that's a great resource for you to be able to craft your own card.
Yeah, thanks, Zuri. Yeah,
no problem.
Let's go for it. Okay, so with the generated card in the from the playground, in the portal, I just copied it on the playground and sent it to myself. So I'm logged in as this particular user, and I have received this card with review and pay. So once we click pay, review and pay, it will not do anything. So basically, it will error out because we don't have configured, we haven't configured the webhook. Okay, so there's the error. But I will now just run this and configure the endpoint to go through my local machine using ngrok. Ngrok is another tool to tunnel your request from internet to your local machine. So
I hope it'll work.
Okay, so it's up. Let me configure ngrok. So this is the ngrok URL so that I can tunnel through.
So while he's doing that, I'll explain kind of the context. Earlier, you saw that Amar drops in two webhooks onto our development portal. And one of the reasons why we need something like ngrok is because we actually proxy all requests for security purposes. So in this particular case, we have to, if you want to do a development experience locally, you'd have to use something like ngrok to be able to tunnel that back to localhost. So while you're working on this experience, you can use these tools to kind of help you build this out. Once you're ready to kind of use a static endpoint in the cloud, that's when you can deploy and drop in your more permanent URLs here.
Okay, so I will just update with the ngrok URL that I got.
Yep.
Okay, so click update. Okay, the update should be done. So let me try again with the card. Okay. Yes, it's working. So the first thing it does is that it will make a call to the webhook, the payment request webhook endpoint, which is the invoices in this case, and the invoices call will basically return the payment, the valid payment response with the information about the invoice. So in this particular case, let me mark invoices. So we are getting the first call at payment event load entity, and the load entity will return the details of the invoice, which says Contoso Cleaning LLC and May 30 with $10 bill. And once I click confirm, I should be able to see the credit cards that are on file on this particular account. And I should be able to see, in fact, when you are doing testing, okay, you are also, the account is also configured with multiple test card account. For example, you will be able to select, see more cards like Visa success, Visa failures. I'll talk about those as we progress. But if you select one of them, you should be able to just click continue and pay. And it will invoke the complete payment complete response, payment complete webhook, and the payment payment controller, and it will return like you know the successful basically in this case, and you should see this this is paid.
Yep.
Okay. I want to show one more thing on this that this testing experience is where I will basically put a big point on token charge decline. Let's see if. Select one of the card that can be used to simulate failures. So confirm. And we have you know, a bunch of cards where one of the card is actually Visa decline. So it creates a token for prompts type, which is which should generate the failures. Okay, so it is big point is here. So it should go and if I complete, I should see a failure. The card has been declined. So this gives the developers the flexibility to test this feature on the on his own account end to end with the token that you know Stripe has provided, and you should be able to see whether be able to you know run through different flow that you have in terms of like you know card failures and also card success in the scenario of having successful or different kind of cards. So there we'll go through the finalizing step of where you should be able to publish your experience for broader consumption.
Yeah, so there's a few steps to kind of building out this experience, right? The first one is when you talk about Outlook and how we manage your development lifecycle, we want to make sure that you can actually build this in the microcosm of your own inbox. That means you know, through the message card playground, you can send yourself some markup, get yourself a merchant ID, drop in the webhooks, and just test this out end to end. You should be able to confirm that this experience works just for you in your own inbox. The second part of that is when you're ready to kind of broaden that scale, you can increase that by just emailing our service, and we'll be able to manually whitelist you for a certain set of production users you want to test this on. So that's whatever group you want. And then once we're ready and we validate that this works for these subset of prod users, then we're ready for general availability. And what that really means is we give your development account and your email address the ability to send to any inbox that is in Outlook. So kind of after you understand what it takes to build this experience, let's talk about who should be building it. And right now, we've been just really focused on invoices, right? And when you kind of break down the scenarios that we started out with, we thought about two things. There's one is things that you absolutely have to pay, which are invoices, and there are real financial consequences for our users when they aren't able to pay on time. And then the, kind of the second step is things that you could pay. And I think that probably applies to the larger set of the audience here today. So kind of when we think about things we could pay, we combine the power of adaptive cards with payments. Adaptive cards are something that you can easily structure with the flexibility of showing really anything you want. And there's an adaptive card session actually at 4:30 today. So if you guys are interested in learning more about adaptive cards and workflows, you guys should go there. But really what next is we're going to show you an example of an upsell workflow of how you can potentially leverage this in the future to be able to drive monetization for your products.
Yep. So actually, I can show it perhaps in live.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's so we have just live. Crafted this. Adaptive card is pretty cool. And in, we have crafted this you know, just in a few hours ago.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll work. So let me go and you know copy the markup. OK, so this is the markup for the card. I will use the same message card playground. So, oops. Okay. So the scenario is that you know you are using a product for a trial version of the product. So the trial version of the product provides you maybe project management solution, and you are using it for last 1 month.
Yep.
And the product company. Okay, they realize that, okay, you are one of the active users, so they want to actually upsell the product to you. So basically providing you a nice, intended, actionable card so that the as a user, I receive it and I'm, you know, I'm tempted to pay. So I will just, you know, show you how this will work. So, okay, so the card is sent to myself. So once I receive it, okay, it appears like So this is the three different options, like you know, right. Basic, premium, and plus. You can tune the markup as you want. Once a user selects once, okay, the card, adaptive card is a concept called refresh. So it refreshes to the particular details of that particular offer. Okay, once you click review and pay, you should see the same payment experience. And you should be able to pay right there. Yep, it's done. So is it not that simple?
I didn't even know that actually worked, so he just like literally threw that together. So,
yeah.
Congratulations, Amar. Yeah, so that's coming soon. Anyone interested in building a monetization experience should email us and talk about the experience that you guys want to do, and we can work with you on crafting this and helping you develop this. A couple of the interesting things that you saw there that we should probably just walk through really quickly is adaptive cards in general, right? So kind of understanding the platform that shows this intent is kind of important. The first thing is that with adaptive cards, the payload that you send on top of your normal email bodies only appear in Outlook for Outlook users. If you're an Office 365 user or an Outlook.com user, you'll see this payload. There's a simple markup in there that says hide body. And if you say hide body, it'll hide the rest of that actual email. That means that when you're sending normal email marketing campaigns or drip campaigns to your users, you can easily build a customized experience in Outlook for Outlook users. And then for the rest of the email users and other types of clients, they'll just see your normal campaigns. So you kind of see that when you click on Get Started, that's really an entry point into whatever type of experience that you want. So you have an opportunity here to build a customized, very targeted message to just Office 365 or Outlook users. And with Office 365, of course, you have the opportunity to market towards a massive audience of paying companies and users. Go ahead. That's a great point. So part of the paradigm of sending these types of emails is we recommend you just add this to your normal types of email campaigns, right? So if they're not an Office 365 customer, they just see the normal body of the email. If they are, then they can see this way more awesome experience. Yep. So Mar, do you want to talk about the issues that you can run into during development?
Yes, sure. Yeah. So. As we work with our initial set of partners, we realize that there are a set of common scenarios where we need to investigate a lot more. So I summarized the key point that we found and what would help going forward if somebody wants to develop on payments in Outlook. The first thing foremost is the email validation failures. So. The payment experience and any of the adaptive experience will only work when certain email security validations are passed. So the key here is that there is a concept called sender policy framework and domain keys identified mail. So the sender policy framework actually says that whenever an email is received, the IP of the email sending server actually matches the mail servers that is allowed to send mails for the domain. So if you're sending it from something at contoso.com, then the IP that is in of the SMTP server that is sending the mail should be part of the contoso.com's domain allowed mail sender list. In some cases, we have seen because of we are trying out in developer experience, we try to send it from our own account, and those email will not render. So it get into a couple of issues with that. The DKIM or domain key identified mail ensures that the integrity of the mail content is preserved. So headers and the bodies are signed by the sending server. So these are validated against for security reasons on our side. And we only display the card when these are both SPF and DKIM checks are passed. The other thing that we see that payment card doesn't render. So when you start the development experience, the only thing that we allow is that you send the markup to yourself. If you send the markup to someone else, it will not render because you are not whitelisted. That is a common issue. So that is when you are ready to, you know, test, when you are ready with testing on your own account, the next thing you do, you expand your test coverage to, you know, a certain set of, you know, email accounts where we can help on expanding the whitelist. But without that, your card will not render. The third common issues that we see is, you know, interacting with the payment experience. So there are a lot of default, there are, you know, a couple of default cards on the payout slide that you have seen. But you also, in some cases, you want to do real testing on it with real live token. The experience will allow you to add real card, but, you know, if you want to add some test cards that is not a valid card, you will not be able to add to those to this experience, and this would manifested in some of these cases.
Right. So, like, kind of the, just give some more detail there. The when you're using kind of a developer friendly payment processor, someone like Stripe, there's two modes. The first mode is just test, right? So with test, credit card tokens actually look like plain strings. So it's Visa success, Visa failure. When you pass that to Stripe as a charge call, it'll just respond with the expected call. So you can kind of validate in your own internal experiences how to handle that. So what happens when the credit card fails on the side of the ISV, right? And what happens when the credit card fails when you call back the Outlook? What is the user experience that you want to achieve? When you're ready to publish, not only is it important to kind of publish the experience in Outlook, but you also have to publish it in Stripe. So you have to verify that these real money transactions are going through. It's only then that you can actually use real credit cards, charge them against Stripe, and then verify that that's actually being processed correctly.
Yep. The final thing is like is a note on distributed tracing. So because you are interacting with multiple components, you know, few components in Microsoft and your webhooks, so there is always the case, okay, where it failed. So for all webhook requests that we send out to your endpoints, we include a header called MSCV. So that header contains the information that you can provide to us if we need to troubleshoot whether it's failed on our end. So that is, you know, something that I just want to brought up.
Yep.
And if you have any questions during the whole development process, you can always send a mail to onboard OPE email ID. And there is also, you can leave feedback on user voice,
yep,
as well as on our developer documentation in dev.outlook.com.
Yep.
Yep. So again, the references are in,
yep,
docs in developer portal for Outlook. You should be able to go there and see and try out the experience. It is pretty easy. Our goal was to, you know, minimize, like in the first sending of email, to 1 hour. So you should be able to try it out, and you should be able to send it and see.
Yeah.
So with that,
go ahead.
Does this support recurring payments?
So currently, it doesn't support recurring. Pardon?
Oh,
the question is, does it support reoccurring payments? Currently, it does not support reoccurring payments. We're actually working with a couple platforms to help drive reoccurring payments. One of them is Zuora. So Zuora is a platform just like Stripe, actually, in some ways, because we actually pass them this encrypted credit card that they can then handle in reoccurring pay. So if you use Zuora, very soon you'll be able to have reoccurring payments that way. With Stripe, we're also working with them on like a reoccurring payment integration as well. Go ahead. So currently it's limited to Stripe. The question, sorry, was can you add other payment processors or is it only limited to Stripe? And the answer to that is currently it's just Stripe. We have Braintree currently integrating. So in the next couple months, we can expect Braintree to be available to users. And there are other types of platforms that are available for developers to build on. In fact, Fiserv is probably another one if you're actually a larger billing institution that would be able to immediately leverage something like this in the next coming months as well. So it just depends on what kind of platform you are and what kind of things you use, right? So.
What happens when someone forwards an email? Do they have the same payment request information in there? Or?
So currently, for security purposes, when you forward an email, sorry, thank you. what happens when someone forwards an email? Currently, when you forward an email, for security purposes, we actually strip the markup from the email. So when you forward it, you just see a normal email body. Yep. Awesome. Great. Well, thanks for coming to our session, and look forward to hearing from you guys as you're building.
Yeah, thank you. Great.